From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is the Reverend Armin Tomassian, Senior Minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Pastor Tomassian is bringing a series of studies in Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians. Before today's message, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Psalm 4 and verse 2. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? An instructive writer has made a mournful list of the honors which the blinded people of Israel awarded to their long-expected king. They gave him a procession of honor, in which Roman legionaries, Jewish priests, men and women took a part, he himself bearing his cross. This is the triumph which the world awards to him who comes to overthrow man's direst foes. Derisive shouts are his only acclamations, and cruel taunts his only paeans of praise. They presented him with the wine of honor. Instead of a golden cup of generous wine, they offered him the criminal's stupefying death draught, which he refused because he would preserve an uninjured taste, wherewith to taste of death. And afterwards, when he cried, I thirst, they gave him vinegar mixed with gall, thrust to his mouth upon a sponge. O wretched, detestable, inhospitality to the king's son! He was provided with a guard of honor, who showed their esteem of him by gambling over his garments, which they had seized as their booty. Such was the bodyguard of the adored of heaven, a quaternion of brutal gamblers. A throne of honor was found for him upon the bloody tree. No easier place of rest would rebel men yield to their liege lord. The cross was, in fact, the full expression of the world's feeling towards him. There, they seemed to say, Thou Son of God, this is the matter in which God himself should be treated could we reach him. The title of honor was nominally King of the Jews, but that the blinded nation distinctly repudiated, and really called him King of Thieves by preferring Barabbas, and by placing Jesus in the place of highest shame between two thieves. His glory was thus in all things turned into shame by the sons of men. But it yet shall gladden the eyes of saints and angels, world without end.
Oh,
your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. As Pastor Tomassian continues this series from 1 Thessalonians, he has been dealing with the characteristics of Christian leadership, which the Apostle Paul set forth in chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. On today's broadcast, he concludes the emphasis upon godliness. Now, here is the Reverend Armin Tomassian.
Now, he uses the term walk in verse 12. He uses it again in chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more." So he's saying, look, you've received this from us, and we press it upon you again. You would abound more and more. You would grow in your walk. Verse 12 of chapter 4 as well, "that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, that ye may have lack of nothing." This idea of walking. Psalm 138, verse 7, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And this is the Christian experience. They walk in the midst of trouble. They exist in trouble, but they walk in the midst of trouble. That's the sense. And I argued the point that walking is most used in the Bible to indicate not our movement from A to B in terms of location, but in terms of our movement alongside God, walking with God or not. I've since read, since Wednesday, in preparation for today, the following, which I was not aware of when I was preaching on Wednesday night. One commentator says, the characteristic Jewish use of halak, and that's the Hebrew word for walk, the characteristic Jewish use of halak was in commendation of a walk in the law, statutes, ordinances, ways of God. For that reason, they refer to Jewish law as halakha. It refers to the collective body of Jewish religious laws derived from the written and oral Torah. This includes biblical commandments as well as Talmudic and rabbinic law. And it means, halakha, the way of walking. The way of walking. The way of walking, the way that you're meant to walk, is in accordance with what is written and what is given. Of course, it gets added to by Jewish tradition and so on, but the idea is there. That the walk, essentially, their use of that term is drawn out the very point I was making without being aware of this Jewish historical reality, this present reality. That they use that term, halakha, in terms of the walk, because it is in accordance with what God would have us to do and how He would have us to live. When you read the Bible, you see that. It's so clear. The Lord God, the first reference, or one of the first references, He walked in the garden in the cool of the day. And where's Adam after his sin? He's running. He's not walking with God. He's running away from God. He has stopped walking with God, and he has moved himself away. He is no longer walking as he ought, walking worthy of God. Rather, he has turned his back on God. And then you go through the book of Genesis, and you have another reference to it, of course, in chapter 5, verses 22 and 24, it refers to Enoch walking with God. In chapter 6, verse 9, Noah walked with God. And then the Lord instructs Abraham in this very thing in Genesis 17, verse 1, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. The sense of walking, the use of that term is being in harmony with God, knowing what He has called you to do and be and living it out in fidelity. And so then you come to Moses, and Moses lays it out very plainly in his law. He says, look, here's how to live. God has given His law, His statutes, His commands. Live them out, do them to the glory and praise of His name. When Jethro comes, we looked at this on Wednesday, when Jethro comes to Moses and he advises him in Exodus 18, verse 20, he says, thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. So as Moses was given to this place of teaching the ordinances and making them understand God's laws, he was reflecting the way they must walk and the work they must do. And you carry on through the law, and you see, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, it's walking. And the Lord then turns this in His mercy. He says, I will walk among you and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. That's insofar as they do what He has called them to do. And Deuteronomy continues the same, and you could go on and on and on. And you come to the New Testament, we have it here. Elsewhere, Paul talks about it. Romans 6, verse 4, you should walk in newness of life. Romans 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, are you getting the point? In verse 12, when Paul says, the whole drive of our teaching, the whole purpose of us being there, really is summarizing and coming to verse 12 and saying, that you would walk worthy of God. You're witnesses, and God also, of the godly way we live, verse 10. And as a father we came and exhorted and comforted and charged you that ye would walk worthy of God, that your life would be in the pattern that God has laid down. We made that plain in our fatherly role and instructive manner to you. We taught you these things. This is what we're called to, beloved. And that sense of calling is what we can't miss in the text. that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you. He doesn't use the word call in chapter 1, but he does use the word election, verse 4 of chapter 1, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Here he says how God has called you unto his kingdom and glory. We should never forget what we receive in Christ. A sense of calling. The privileges that are ours, the benefits of the recipients of Christ. Our sins are forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We will never see the inside of hell, ever. There's not even the possibility of it. Those who give their hearts, their lives to Christ, they will never be in the blackness of darkness forever. They will never burn where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. They will never be there, not even for a nanosecond. They will never be there. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He takes away the punishment. The wrath is gone. And Paul says, look, you've been called into this. You've been brought into this. He's called you onto his kingdom and glory. You're no longer under the power of Satan. You're under the power of Christ. You're no longer under his law and his way as a puppet on his strings. You've been delivered and set free. The Son has redeemed you and pulled you under his kingdom and made you his subject that you would live to the praise of his glory. Peter uses this term of privilege of calling as well. And again, he couches it in terms of responsibility also. He says in 1 Peter 2:9, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He hath called you out of darkness. And you're to show forth the praises of him who has done this. Your life is to be a constant life of praise. He uses it again in chapter 5, verse 10 of 1 Peter, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. He has called us unto his eternal glory. Paul would have us remember this. He would have those at Thessalonica remember it. Why? That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. The main emphasis of the text is walking worthy of God. Walking with the weight, walking with the responsibility, walking with the sense of what he's called you to. But he says why that's so important. Because you've been called. You've been called unto his kingdom and glory. And Paul, you see, Paul, the moment the light dawned, the moment he understood that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah and is the Lord, he puts himself under his sovereign rule, as I have quoted many times, and you will hear me quote on many occasions because it's a pattern for us. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? What's the response? What is my responsibility? What are you calling me to? And his whole life then was pulling people under the benefits of the redemptive work of Christ, pulling them under the benefits of knowing the atonement applied to them and seeing them in turn go out as those called who walk worthy of God. Adam failed to walk worthy of God. Failed. And he plunged all of us into a condition of being incapable of walking worthy of God. But the last Adam comes. The Lord of glory descends and condescends into this world. And he lives as the first Adam ought. He obeys in every jot and tittle. He does everything the law of God requires. Whatever the Father willed, he did. He submitted himself entirely to it. And he was willing as a servant. And he purchased eternal redemption for us. And he did it all. And by his redemptive work, this is the thing. By his redemptive work, he not only applies the sense of no condemnation, But he brings the power to walk worthy again, so that sin does not have dominion over you, so that you're transformed. Do not see the cross simply as a symbol of your ticket out of hell. And leave it there. There's my ticket out of hell. I'm going to heaven. Praise the Lord. See it as the power to live. It's the power to know a transformed heart. It's there on the cross we'd see the answer for how I can actually walk worthy of God. And so our gaze is ever on the cross. And we cannot sit at the foot of the cross and not consider not simply what we've received through Christ's person and work, but also then what we reciprocate in praise. Paul says, this is my driving point. And you know that we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Beloved, that is a big part of the ministry, that you would make progress in this area, walking worthy. It's a tremendous privilege, you know. It's a badge of honor. It is. You belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has pulled you into his kingdom by his redeeming love. He's delivered you from nature's darkness. He's given you light and life and hope and salvation and redemption. He says, you're mine. You're mine. Show it to the world. Let the world know. Let it echo from you. Don't hide it. Put it under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men. Walk worthy of God. Think of the positions that there are in life. Think of the honor. Maybe some of you have had honor. The honor of being placed in a position where you've felt the weight of it. I feel such an honor to be in this place. And it has dictated how you lived. You've sensed the weight of it. You've sensed the responsibility of it. How much more should the sense that we belong to Christ not dictate how we live? That was the heart of his labor in the church. And that's the heart of any man's labor amongst the people of God. Enjoy the gospel and express it to the world in all of the happiness that there is in knowing your sins are forgiven. Like those that go through college, we said at the beginning, it would be very sad if they left the same way they come in. That may happen. I don't know. I'm not sure if it's possible to graduate and actually leave the same way you enter. But one thing's certain. The gospel certainly does not let you do that. Jesus Christ does not let you do that. He brings you in and he changes your heart. He changes your life, new affections, new desires, new goals. Those who are graduating, I trust, that know the Lord, you're bringing the Lord into every decision that you have to make. You're considering him, and you're bringing the matters before him and saying, Lord, lead me. He leadeth me. Oh, blessed thought. He does lead. And the goal is that by the time the Lord sees fit to take us right into his presence, it can be said of us that you walked worthy of God. Teach me, Lord, on earth to show by my love how much I owe. May the Lord help us.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.